So as you see in the bulletin, my name is Heather, and I've been a member of this congregation for many years. In the fireside room, there are some pictures of previous ministers, and I can look on that wall and say, he baptized me, his wife taught me Sunday school and how to draw a perfect hand, she confirmed me, and he married Dan and I. And now here we are with Pastor Emery, who is allowing me to be here today. For those of you who have been in any university or training type program, you know when you have to introduce yourself and share things about your life, and secretly inside you groan and think, either what's the most outrageous thing I can share, or what's the least amount of information I can share and still be understood. Well, I had one of those experiences, except we had to share a number of components about ourselves from a variety of times in our life. So one of the things I casually said, which is something I've said before, is, well, I was born and raised in a church. And without missing a beat, one of my classmates turned to me quite shocked and said, you were born in a church? Well, no, I was born in a hospital, but it's a figure of speech. But back to those ministers. I really feel that we have a problem as a congregation, a big problem. And although born and raised in the church, I've never participated in the hiring committee. That, quite frankly, sounds like too much work for me. But as I got thinking of this sermon, I realized I better, as we have a problem. And here's our problem. Joan? We've hired Flames fans. Both Richard and Emery are Flames fans. Our saving grace is that Anne, Emery's wife, is a Canucks fan. We live in BC, home of the Vancouver Canucks. For some of us, it's easy to love those Canucks. One could argue from the 06-07 to the 13-14 season that the Canucks had one of the best goaltenders in the league, even prior with McLean. When all of the players were healthy, they had one of the best defensive cores as well. At this time, when other teams were interviewed, it was often said that Vancouver is a team that no one ever takes lightly because they make you work in order to win. GM Place was one of the toughest buildings to play in because the fans were so loud. It's easy to be happy for a team, a sport, or even a show that we enjoy watching. It's easy to cheer in our basements, easy to talk about our favorite TV show, movie, or book, our favorite restaurant or vacation, share all the good things about it, reliving our experiences as we talk. It's easy to be grateful for those things outside of ourselves that we've experienced or encountered. But what about with each other? Instead of analyzing the hockey stats, the football scores, the movie ratings, what happens when we look inside and work on ourselves? Let's pray. Lord, we ask today that you would open us up to hear what you want us to know, to grow in you. Open our eyes, our ears, and our minds to be people who reflect your grace and goodness in all that we do. Amen. As we move into the new school year, we'll be working with the Sunday school children about building and developing an attitude of gratitude. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not so amiss that I think I can change their behavior in a 38-minute Sunday school lesson. But we can plant some seeds and help them understand what it means to be grateful for what's around us. Part of the work that I currently do in one of our alternative programs at a high school here in town. Sorry, part of the work I currently do is in a high school here in town, an alternative program that we've just started. I realized as we went through last year how down these kids were on themselves, school, and overall in general. They didn't seem to see the good in anything, let alone themselves. When they came to class, our expectations of them were very low. For some of them, the fact that they walked into the building was enough to celebrate. That's where our expectation was for them, that they'd come to school. So my co-teacher and I began to do some lessons on gratitude. We built a gratitude tree. The tree was grown, if you will, by the leaves we added to it, each leaf representing something that we were grateful for. The students had to write one leaf a class, and for the first few classes, they moaned, complained, and grumbled through it. Then as it became part of our culture in the classroom, they were asked if they could add extra leaves, or they just started doing it on their own. Unfortunately, I didn't get a final photo of the tree, but it grew, and it was pretty cool. So what exactly is gratitude? Gratitude is a word used to express thankfulness and praise, a general attitude of thanksgiving in both the trials and blessings of life. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in Scripture to give thanks for all things, in all circumstances, Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians. in suffering. We read about that in Romans and James. And to do everything in the name of Jesus out of a spirit of gratitude, Colossians 3:17. Emery has often shared in his sermons that as believers, we can have peace and joy through prayer and gratitude. When we pray and give thanks to God, even when it's hard to, we're promised to be given grace and faith. However, further to this, I feel that we need to develop an attitude of gratitude. As much as prayer and reading scripture can assist us in understanding and become grateful, blessed people, it can't only happen on a Sunday morning or during our bedtime prayers. Gratitude is usually associated with thanksgiving. One day a year to be thankful or grateful? Shouldn't we make a concerted effort each and every day, not just one day a year, to appreciate all of our blessings? Colossians 4:2 says that we are to be devoted to giving thanks. And in Philippians we read that we are to do everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Hebrews says we are to serve the Lord with thanksgiving. And our lives are to be filled with a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude towards God for all he has done. But the sad truth is that most of us aren't always grateful people. When it comes to having a spirit of thanksgiving, we fall short, don't we? We're much better at grumbling and complaining than we are at giving thanks. Despite all the blessings, sometimes we're anything but thankful. Don't believe me? Think about how you respond when someone cuts you off in traffic. How do you respond when the Starbucks or the Tim Hortons lineup is long and you're in a hurry? It happened to me just the other day. Don't ask my kids how I responded. Are you grateful that so many people are there to buy things, or are you annoyed and frustrated because the employees aren't moving fast enough? We're often like the 9 lepers in Luke 17. There we read of the 10 who stood at a distance and cried out to Jesus as he was traveling. They cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And Jesus heard them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Verses 14 to 16 tell us that they went, were cleansed, but how many of them came back? One. And in verse 17 to 18, Jesus says to this one leper who returned, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this one?" Jesus' emotional response to the ingratitude of the 9 gives us a glimpse into the heart of God. Jesus was disappointed that only one person cared enough to express his gratitude. William Barclay writes, "No story in all the Gospels so poignantly show man's ingratitude, like the lepers in Luke 17. The lepers came to Jesus with desperate longing. He cured them, and 9 never came back to give thanks. Barclay says, "So often once a man has got what he wants, he never comes back." Doesn't that sometimes look like us? We take God's goodness for granted. We receive great blessings, yet we often don't give God our gratitude. No, don't get me wrong. We all falter. No one is perfect. In prepping for this sermon and doing some research, I came across an article that has 4 ideas why we're sometimes inclined to forget God and live as ungrateful people. The next slide, please. The author stated that we're ungrateful because of affluence. We have more, we want more, and we take more. I remember being humbled, truly humbled, and came home so grateful after a trip with Jordis and her son and many others to Tijuana many, many years ago. They have so little, yet have so much joy. You want to see people praising. Wow. We witnessed and participated in a worship service with hundreds of others. Talk about powerful. Even in a different language, there was power there. We worked and stayed in an orphanage, and they were grateful, and I remember this really clearly, for the soccer ball that they had, and it wasn't even fully inflated. And they played in their field, and it was just dirt. You know, and seriously, I get frustrated when my kids come into the house with dirty feet. Think about it. We travel by airplane, drive decent cars, live in air-conditioned homes, have TVs, the latest digital recording device, and the newest cell phones. We eat in nice restaurants, and we worship in comfy buildings. When stated like that, we each actually live an incredible ease and life of luxury, though we may not think so. You would think that all these blessings would make us the most grateful people on earth. But often all this does is really just make us more and more discontented and ungrateful, because often the byproduct of having so much is a desire for more. We're ungrateful because of pride. We're prideful because we think we've earned the things we have received. We say to ourselves, "I worked hard for that job. I raised my kids to be good people. I studied for those grades. I earned that award." And in our pride, we don't even think to thank God. We give ourselves a pat on the back and forget that it's God who's blessed us. Psalm 10:4 says, In his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for him. And in our pride, we've forgotten that it's God who gives the good gifts from above. We're ungrateful people because of who we hang around with. 1 Corinthians says, bad company corrupts good character. And the time we spend with negative, ungrateful people will influence us, whether we want it to or not. Did you know that ingratitude and grumbling are addictive? Have you ever been around somebody who complains so often they don't even recognize it as a problem? Some of us even come into church and complain. I hope they don't sing too many songs today. Ooh, it's pretty cold in here. Would you look at that? Somebody sitting in my pew. Will this service ever end? I'll never get a seat at Tim Hortons for lunch. It rolls off our tongues and we don't even realize it. Yes, I said we, me included. We're ungrateful people because of circumstances. It's hard to rejoice and be thankful when the bills are piling up, bad news comes our way, or things are hard. Often the reason behind our ingratitude is exactly that, a bad circumstance. Remember when Moses took the Israelites into the desert and they became entrapped by the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army in heavy pursuit and they complained? Exodus 14 says the Israelites looked up and there were Egyptians marching after them. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? The Israelites' first reaction to their tough circumstances was to grumble. Maybe today it's hard for you to be thankful because you're trapped in a situation in your life that's really tough. I don't know what specific reasons cause us to be ungrateful or cause you to be ungrateful necessarily. It could be a combination of many of these things. But whatever the case, I think we all wish we could learn to be a little bit more thankful and to develop a spirit of gratitude in our lives. So what are the four steps to having an attitude of gratitude? Remember how much gratitude pleases God. Gratitude makes God happy. 2 Chronicles 5:13 says, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. God's presence came to the temple in response to the thanksgiving that was coming out of it. God loved to hear the praises from the temple, and so he drew near. Secondly, we want to try to avoid complaining. As I said earlier, complaining and grumbling are the biggest barriers to gratitude. Believe me, I'm not so off my rocker that I think we can always do this. We need to learn to catch ourselves when we complain. If we've complained, that's okay, but then we need to say something that we're grateful for. Numbers 11 says the Israelites complained about their hardships, and when God heard it, his anger was aroused. Bob Russell writes, I really believe the most important step to developing inner peace is to quit complaining and start praising. Number 3 says make a personal choice to rejoice. It may be difficult to be thankful at certain times, but we need to make a personal decision that we are going to be grateful people, even when we do not feel like it or when it is hard. The Apostle Paul from prison wrote, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Notice he says rejoice twice. Paul made a personal choice to have a grateful attitude despite his circumstances. He decided that even though he was in prison, it didn't matter. He was going to praise and thank God anyway, and it transformed his perspective. On the slide there, you see a quote from Willie Nelson. It says, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. Number 4 says, develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. In order to be thankful people, we need to start giving thanks every day. In Daniel 6, we read that Daniel got down on his knees 3 times every day and prayed and gave thanks to his God. How many of us actually do that? So I want to challenge you to begin to find a regular routine of finding something every day to give thanks for. So if this is all it's about, how do we actually do this? Well, a quick Google search will give you a plethora of information on gratitude, how to increase daily practices and the benefits of those. Some of those benefits include increased happiness and positive mood, improvement in physical health, well-being, less likely to experience burnout, better physical health, better sleep. The list goes on and on. So with all these benefits of practicing gratitude, the next question probably is, but how do I do this? So here are some of the most popular gratitude exercises. The first one is journaling. One of the most popular gratitude exercises is the daily gratitude journal. One study found that materialism among adolescents decreased when they implemented this practice. For the adult participants, the study also found that they donated 60% more money to charity. So let's get journaling. The purpose of this exercise was to reflect on the past few days or weeks and remember 3 to 5 good things that you're especially grateful for. In this way, you're focusing on all the good things that happened to you in a given set of time. Some of the journal prompts included things like, I'm grateful for my family because something good happened this week, and it was. I'm grateful for my friendship with so-and-so because. One article utilized this 3 good things exercise to enhance gratitude in adults 60 years and older. This exercise involved writing down 3 good things you have to be grateful for, usually at night. The study was conducted on a group of 88 healthy adults, aged 60 or over, and lasted for 45 days. Research showed that this gratitude intervention improved well-being at multiple points throughout the duration of the study. Perceived stress also decreased over the first 15 days. This was a study of 45 days. To create a new habit, it takes 30. How simple is it then to just before bed write down 3 things that you're grateful for? The second thing up there is a gratitude box or jar or tree. This is a visual representation. You can find a jar or a box, decorate it, whatever you want, and put that note in there. Or like I did with the kids in the high school and I'll do with the Sunday school, build that tree. It's a visual representation for what you're doing. A gratitude rock. This exercise may sound a little silly, and you may be thinking, a rock? What can a rock do for me? But the secret to this exercise is that the rock is a symbol for you. It's a physical object that you can use to remind you of what you have. I do this with teens a lot. In my office, I have a container of rocks, and they'll choose one that they like, that they feel somehow connected to. Some of them will write on it, some of them will color it, some of them just keep it in their pocket. I just have one rule, and that's that they don't throw it at anyone else. I encourage them to keep it with them, and whenever they see it or feel it in their pocket, they can think of one thing that they're grateful for. Gratitude prompts. Sometimes we just need a prompt. It's a simple exercise with only one request. Fill in the blank. Some of these prompts include, I'm grateful for these 3 things I hear. I'm grateful for these 3 things I smell or touch, or I'm grateful for these 3 family members. A gratitude walk. This exercise only requires your sense of gratitude and a pair of feet or a wheelchair. How many times do you walk somewhere and you don't really truly observe what's around you? So with this walk, you take that time to look at those plants or those flowers or the rocks on the road, kind of like you do when you're walking a little toddler down the street and they want to pick up everything. You take it all in and you're aware and you focus on what's around you. The gratitude letter or email. And this may be one of the most powerful gratitude exercises. Write a handwritten letter to a person that you're particularly grateful for to have in your life, or to someone you haven't spoken to in a while. I truly believe we've lost the art of letter writing. But how fun to receive an unexpected note, letter, or card. Mail is fun, unless it's a bill. When the kids were little, at least 5 to 6 times a year, I would develop photos and write a card to Dan's grandparents. They lived out of town, and his grandma once told me she loved receiving the cards, how precious they were, and quite frankly, since I came into Dan's life, she had received more cards with his signature on them than ever before. Meditation. I really struggle with this one, personally, but you may enjoy it. Find a quiet space, eyes open or closed, repeat a mantra, do a guided meditation. Take the time to practice. A picture or collage if you're more artistic. It's similar to the gratitude journal, except you take a picture of all the things you're grateful for. This gives you the opportunity to visualize your gratitude. In taking that picture, you can always look back and look at it every week, remembering what you were grateful for. You don't have to find a grandiose thing. A simple flower will do. If you're more techie, there's thousands of gratitude quizzes, questionnaires, podcasts, apps. The list goes on and on. One of them I found was called Mojo App. Another one was called Happy Feed. That sounds like something you just want to download just because of the name. But they can all help you. Listen to somebody else through a podcast. There's a reason that researchers, counselors, support people, doctors give you a list like this and a multitude of things to try from, because not everything works for everyone. So choose one or two, give it a month or so, and see where you end up. But there's one last idea, and that's that we can pray. Through prayer, we can pray that God would move our heart from complaints to praise. Earlier, Abby read from Philippians, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." Secondly, we need to pray that God would move our hearts from criticism to encouragement. We need to work on being gentle towards each other, especially the people in our own families. Build each other up. Look for the positive that you can praise instead of the negative that we're tempted to criticize. The third thing we need to pray is that God would move our hearts from cynicism to faith. All of us have questions, and we learn by questioning things. But there's a difference between questioning something and expecting that there's a reasonable answer, and questioning for the sake of questioning. You can question because you want to know, or you can question as an excuse for not wanting to know. The next slide says that the gratitude muscle is like any other muscle in that it must be flexed periodically to remain strong. And gratitude turns what we have into enough. So I want to end with a song, and no, I'm not going to sing. A story, a video actually, if we can get it to work, and one more piece about those silly Calgary Flames. I was driving the other day and I heard these lyrics from the King of Pop, regarded as one of the most significant cultural figures of the 20th century and one of the greatest entertainers, Mr. Michael Jackson. He wrote, "I'm going to make a change. For once in my life, I'm going to feel real good. Going to make a difference, going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change." That is his message. If we want to change, we have to start by looking at ourselves and making that change. For those of you who are on Facebook or YouTube, you may have seen this clip that we're going to watch. It's 2 minutes, but it's a really short lesson on gratitude.
I wrote the same, but in different words.
Thanks, love.
If you didn't hear her, she said, "I wrote the same, but different words." Both signs spoke the truth, but the first sign simply said he was blind. The second sign conveyed to everyone walking by just how grateful they should be. When life seems full of troubles, it seems difficult to maintain an attitude of gratitude. All we see are our problems, like a blackened storm casting a dark shadow over our lives. And the times when everything just seems to be going smoothly, we often take those moments for granted too, don't we? Caught up in the bliss, comfort, and familiarity of it all, we simply forget to be thankful. So then what is gratitude? Simply put, it's a habit. It's a way of looking at the world and all the good things in it with a feeling of appreciation, regardless of whether or not your current situation is the way you want it to be. So just like I've encouraged you to try one of these gratitude exercises, I'll challenge the Sunday school children to see what they're grateful for. Our tree will also be built. As for me, I too have come to understand that I can be grateful for those Calgary Flames. They've played well. As Vancouver is, well, let's just say rebuilding. I can laugh when they lose, smile when they win, and I can even concede for the last few years the Flames were on the top of our division. And I'm okay with that because the Canucks weren't as bad as the Oilers. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the gift you have given us of your word, that we can look in the Bible and see what you say. We can read your word that was just as imperative years ago as it is today. Lord, help us to reflect on ourselves, the moments in our lives when maybe we move too fast, think too sharply, and don't slow down to be thankful for what you have given us. Help us to increase our attitude of gratitude so that you can be reflected in our daily lives. In your name we pray. Amen.